This audio presentation is the teaching of Pastor Alex Pacheco of New Hope East Hawaii. In his message titled, A Prayer of Surrender, Pastor Alex encourages us to accept God's plan, surrender to God's control, and trust in God's care. This message was recorded on Sunday, March 1st, 2015. Here now is Pastor Alex.
Well, this morning you heard a partial testimony of Jaewin and his life. And what he was, as he said before, he no longer is, because now the Bible says that he's a new creature in Christ. And what has happened is he has let Christ come into his life, and then he obeyed the Lord, and he still is. And now we see a new person who can come to church and stand before us and talk about the Lord himself. Now, many of us, when we come to church, we come for different reasons. I think I fall in all the categories. One was when a lot of us come to church because we say, oh, I better go to church because things not working so good out there. Anybody can relate to that one? Yeah. If you didn't raise your hand, you're lying this morning. And we got to pray for you. And so, and then when we come to church, we find that, hey, nothing went change. We go home. You know, I went to church and things are still the same. Still, you know, I still get the problem. I still, you know, we thought that God was just going to fix it right there and then because we attended church. Church is good, but church has a purpose, and that is to teach us more about Christ. And you'll see me do this every time. And it's to get us to get into the Word of God, which the Bible says, the Holy Spirit is the Spirit of God, and the Holy Spirit has power. And so what the Holy Spirit does is when we get into the Word of God, we get it into our head and into our hearts, but then we must apply what we have learned, and that's when the Holy Spirit's power comes available to us. Everybody follow me? Yeah, so you cannot just come to church and expecting good things to, happen, poof, and then you're okay, and you don't need to come back until the next time. Yeah. So my encouragement to us this morning is that whenever, I'm preaching, but whenever a pastor is preaching, what he's trying to do is present you the gospel, which is the Word of God, in such a way that you can understand the Word of God, and then you can go and apply it into your lives. Get it? Good. And then the Holy Spirit will give you the power to do it. Because when I was just starting church, my greatest problem was my wife. That lady, I tell you. And, you know, and it was like, God, fix this lady. Fix her. Something wrong with her. I mean, every time she yelled at me for everything I do, you know. And then it wasn't until one day I heard the Holy Spirit say to me, fix yourself first. And all of a sudden, my wife came good. There is something about God, about His Word, and about His love that goes beyond understanding. And when you get into a relationship with God, His Holy Spirit comes and helps you with every situation in your life. It is amazing what God does for people. And so I will always want to encourage us to press into God, get to know Him. Because for every problem that you have, He has an answer. And the good thing is He's going to be with you to work through every problem. Now, in the Bible, it speaks about a place where Jesus taught his disciples how to pray, found in Matthew, the book of Matthew. And I'll tell you the reason why I'm preaching this message today is because how many of you found out that even pastors are just like you? Pastors have problems. We might be really good because we try to smile all the time. But we have problems and we have difficulties, and there are circumstances in our lives just like you that we have to face. financial problems. We're just exactly like you. We're no better than you. Maybe we've been in the Word longer, and we've been able to have God help us, but we still have problems. I just want to confess to you that I lose my peace very easily. Somebody cut in front of me on the road, I lose my peace. I used to live in Pahoa, and now when I go out to Pahoa, just like Khalil said, I lose my peace when I sit in that traffic and all those cars. And I know it ain't going to get better. You know, even all these roads that they pave and everything, there's still going to be a bottleneck somewhere. And so I just think that we all can relate to that. Just one phone call. Somebody calls us and gives us some bad news. We lose our peace. Yeah. And we go through life every day losing our peace. And so the reason why I put this message together is that there is a prayer. And the prayer is called the Prayer of Surrender. And it's a prayer that can help us. So what we're going to talk about this morning is that we're going to look at what to pray when your circumstances are uncontrollable, when the people around you will not change, and when problems are unexplainable. It's about the prayer of surrender. We're going to read the first verse together. It's found in Matthew chapter 6. Verse 10, and I hope you know why we do this. We put the scriptures up because it's not us saying that. And it's not the pastor or the teacher saying it. It's really comes from the Word of God. And we want you to be able to, in the future, and we leave blanks on your outline so that you can actually go back to these places and say, where was that scripture now? Oh, yeah, there it is. Matthew 6, verse 10 out of the Good News Bible. Ready, go. Read it together. May your kingdom come. May your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. How many of you said, oh, that's where it came from? Yeah, the Lord's Prayer. That's where it came from. Yeah. Now, what does it mean? May your kingdom come. May your will be done. What is God's kingdom? God's kingdom is his plan for history. It is the rule and the reign of God in the world. It's all that he wants to do, all that God wants to do. All his purposes are accomplished in the kingdom of God. Now, where is the kingdom of God? It is wherever Jesus is allowed to be king. Get it? Okay. So Jesus says, when I am the king of your heart, the kingdom of God is within you. So the kingdom of God is wherever Jesus is allowed to be king. Actually, the second phrase, thy will be done, explains the first phrase, thy kingdom come. God's kingdom is wherever God's will is done. So if God's will is being done in your life, that's where the kingdom of God is. It's inside of you. In the old days, when somebody would say to me, you got to go forgive this person. You know what? I say, you know what that person needs? One slap on his head. Yeah. But guess what happened when Jesus came in? And Jesus said, you go and forgive that person. I'll tell you what happened. Lord, I cannot. And then the reply was, that's why I have my Holy Spirit, because there's power. And although it was hard to do, I did it. Why? Because Jesus lives in me. And if Jesus lives in you, you can do anything through Christ who strengthens you. Amen? Yeah. So, what does it mean to pray this prayer, thy kingdom come, thy will be done? It means three things. And on your outline, if you're taking notes, the first is, I accept God's plan. Instead of my own plan for my life, I accept his purpose, his will for my life. And part of this, and a big part of it, is something that is very difficult And that is accepting the things that you cannot change. There are a lot of things in your life you cannot change. You didn't choose your birth or your death. You don't choose what other people do to you. You have to accept these things that cannot be changed. So how do you have peace when you're frustrated by something that is unchangeable? Well, I think that we all know worrying doesn't work. It doesn't give you peace. Resenting, you cannot get peace when you resent. Feeling guilty about things that you cannot change in the past, nope, that doesn't give you peace. How about a pity party? My wife always told me, get off of that. Because when you're pity partying, you're not happy at all. Yeah. There's only one thing that will work when you cannot change something, and that is acceptance. I must accept God's will in my life. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done. Now, I'm not saying that everything that happens in your life is God's will. I'm not saying that. The Apostle Paul, he understood this. In Philippians chapter 4, verses 11 to 13, this is what Paul says. He says, I've learned to be satisfied with the things that I have and with everything that happens. Now, how many of you can say this? I have learned to be satisfied with everything that happens. I'm going to tell you the truth. I cannot. I can't raise my hand on this one. Paul is saying, I have learned to be content, to be satisfied with the things I have and everything that happens. And it continues and he says, I know how to live when I am poor, and I know how to live when I have plenty. I've learned the secret of being happy at any time in everything that happens. I can do all things through Christ because he gives me strength. You know that there are secrets in the Bible? And if you're not reading, you're not going to get them. He has learned the secret. He wrote this while he was in prison. He is in Rome, chained to a guard. He's in a dungeon. And he is saying, I've learned how to be happy no matter what's going on in my life. He couldn't change his circumstances, but he said, I have learned to be content. Now notice three things. First, this accepting of God's plan is a learned experience. You are not by nature a contented person. That's why I said I couldn't raise my hand on this. By nature, we are discontented. Yesterday we went fishing, my son and I, Kaleo, and we caught 7 ono. I wanted 10. You understand what I'm saying? You look at your paycheck. Oh, wow. And then you look. Oh, look at the taxes they didn't take out. You know, I should have it all. Yeah, we're not contented people. God says contentment is something that you learn. You learn to accept the things that you cannot change. Here's the second thing. It's a choice. Paul says, I choose to be happy in spite of my circumstances. And the third thing he says, it's possible only through Christ's strength. Only through Jesus. You need to learn this first step of the prayer of surrender, that I accept God's plan even when I don't understand it. Why? Because the truth is, most of the things that happen in your life, God doesn't explain why they happen. Most of the things in your life, God is not going to give you an explanation. He remains silent. When you're going through the problems, he's quiet. When you're going through the trials, he's quiet. When you're going through the difficulties, through the circumstances that you don't like. Let me give you an illustration. You remember when you were in school and you're about to take a test and the teacher comes by, pass out the test. You sit down on your desk and you start to take the test. And the teacher, he or she, would sit in front of the class in silence while you took the test. How many of you remember that? Nod your head. Okay. The teacher is always silent when the test is being given. That's true in life, and that's true with God. Anytime you're going through a tough time and God is silent and you're praying, God, why is this happening to me? How come? Help! And God is silent. This is a test. And God is saying, are you going to trust me even when you don't feel me? Are you going to trust me even when you cannot see me or hear me or feel me, or when you're feeling like you're a million miles away from me? Will you accept my plan, my wisdom, my love, my goodness, even when there's nothing emotional? You come to church and we're singing worship songs and you're, oh yeah, you have that feeling. And what about next Sunday when you don't? Will you still trust God? Will you trust me even when I am silent? And God tests you like that all the time. He tests me like that all the time. He wants you to pray when you're in those situations. And that's when you need to pray the prayer of surrender. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done. God, I don't know what's going on in my life, but you know. Thy will be done. And that's the prayer of surrender. It's the first key to peace, where you say, I'm going to accept your plan even when I don't understand it. Now, why does this bring peace of mind? Because the greatest barrier to your peace of mind is your demand for an explanation. Anytime you ask God why, you're setting yourself up to be disappointed. Because God's not going to explain why everything happens in your life. Whenever you start saying, why is this happening to me? Why didn't this happen instead? Why did God allow this? Why? Questions like that set yourself up to be not at peace, but instead to be anxious and to have turmoil, and it always robs your peace. Now, here's the truth. The truth is your problems are not going to get, you're not going to get an explanation from God. That's the truth. And there's three reasons. One is God doesn't owe you an explanation. Remember, God is God and I'm not. I wrote this down when we were worshiping this morning. I wanted to read it to you at this moment. We sang, you are God alone in the good times and the bad. You're unchangeable. You're unshakable. You're unstoppable. You are God alone. Who are we to question God? He is a great God. And God's not going to explain why everything happens in your life. Think about this. You think he would say, Alex, can I have your permission to do this? Is it okay if I did that? No. God is God, and we're not. And we don't. He doesn't report to us. We have to report to him. Amen? Yeah. The second thing is you probably wouldn't understand the explanation even if he gave you one. Because the way God thinks is so different than us. He thinks through eternity. He sees everything that is going to happen in the future. And he sees everything that happened in the past. And he sees everything. And he knows what is good and what is going on in your life right now. God thinks of terms of generations. And we tend to think what's happening in our lives right now, the fire that we're in right now, the pain that we have right now. And God is taking in all the perspectives of the progress for eternity. And here's the third reason. Explanations never comfort us. Some of us have had pain in our past, and through reading or therapy or counseling or talking with friends, we figured out why certain things happened in our life, but did it comfort us at all? No. It didn't relieve the pain. Explanations rarely comfort us. And that's why when God lets you go through a situation, he does not always explain it. Now listen to this. Instead of offering an explanation, he offers himself, his presence in your life. Somebody say, wow. Good God. A loving and caring God. Because what you need when you're in pain is God's presence, not an explanation. And God has said, I will be with you always. I care about you. You will never go through anything on your own. And so that's the first step to the prayer of surrender. Many people pray the serenity prayer. How many of you heard that one before? Yeah. Millions of people pray the serenity prayer on a daily basis. But did you know that the serenity prayer has been edited? It has been shortened. And most people only know the first three lines. The actual prayer has eight more lines, and that's where the power is. Listen to this. Oh, you can follow with me. It's on your outline. It says, God, grant me the serenity to accept the things I cannot change, the courage to change the things I can, and the wisdom to know the difference, living one day at a time, enjoying one moment at a time, accepting hardship as a pathway to peace, taking, as Jesus did, this sinful world as it is, not as I would have it, trusting that you will make all things right if I surrender to your will so that I may be reasonably happy in this life and supremely happy with you forever in the next. Amen. Big difference. The second part of the prayer is the power part. When you face uncontrollable circumstances, you tend to do one or two things. One is you redouble your effort. You try harder and you become a controller over everything. And the other is you throw in the towel. So it's two extremes. You either do one of those and you give up. Both of those choices, trying to control everything and everybody around you and giving in and saying, I'm a victim. Those are, this is the Hawaiian the Hawaiian word for you today. If you never heard this, you are blessed. It's dumb. D-U-M-B. When you choose those two choices, you're dumb. Turn to the person next to you. I told you. Instead, what you need to do is pray the prayer of surrender. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done. Amen? Number two, I surrender to God's control. I don't just accept his plan. I say, God, you're in control. Now, we don't like this word surrender, right? I looked at the outline. The bulletin, actually. And Pastor Scott, he didn't talk to me or anything. I would not put a flag on that bugger. You know, because this is not this type of surrendering where we lose. It's a different type of surrendering where we win by surrendering to God. Amen? Yeah, so the Bible says, in Psalms 37, verse 7, it says, surrender yourself to the Lord and wait patiently for him. Folks, that is the key to peace. What happens if we don't do this? Romans 8:6 says, if a person is thinking If a person's thinking is controlled by his sinful self, there is death. But if his thinking is controlled by the Spirit, there is life and peace. So how do you get life and peace? By being controlled by the Spirit of God. By surrendering yourself to the Lord and waiting for Him. If you want personal peace, Job 22 verse 21 tells us how to get it. It says, stop quarreling with God. If you agree with Him, you will have peace at last and things will go well with you. God says, I want to bring you peace. But you got to accept my plan and you got to surrender to my control because I am God and you are not. The third thing that we need to do is trust God. I trust in God's care. I trust in His care that if He guides me, listen to this, He will provide for me. If He guides me, He will provide for me. Isaiah 26, verse 3, it says, You, Lord, give true peace to those who depend on you because they trust you. I'm going to give you another illustration. Your life is never going to be problem-free. Everybody heard me on that? That's the reality of life. And I think some of you are thinking right now, oh man, I'm not come to hear that. I came to be encouraged. Well, I'm going to encourage you. Okay? I have learned that if it's not one thing, it's going to be another. Your life is like an aircraft carrier. The aircraft carrier has this landing pad, and up in the air there are 10, 20, 30, maybe even more. We know them as planes, but they're all problems. Flying. And number one is ready to come in and land the moment you wake up your eyes in the morning. Number two lines up to take number one's place after number one, after you solve number one. Yeah. The rest of your life, you're going to have one problem after another. You have to learn how to have peace in spite of your problems and in spite of conflicts in your life. You have to learn to trust God's care even when you have problems. Matthew 6:33. God will give you all you need from day to day if you live for Him and make the kingdom of God primary concern. What is the kingdom of God? His will in your life and His will in the world. And if you say, thy will be done and live like that, He says, I'm going to take care of all your needs. And so I accept God's plan for my life. I surrender to God's control for my life. And I trust God's care for my life.
You've been listening to Pastor Alex Pacheco of New Hope Christian Fellowship East Hawaii. New Hope East Hawaii meets each Sunday at 9 a.m. at Christian Liberty Academy, 16675 Milo Street, Keaau, Hawaii. For more information, call us at 808-936-6651 or visit www.newhopeasthawaii.com.